I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. Would you please stand as the Wildcat Company from Oak Ridge High School presents our colors, and Willowbrook Elementary will lead us in the pledge to the allegiance. And I would like to recognize the principal of Willowbrook Elementary School, Dr. Sherry Fairchild-Kies, who will introduce our very special guest for this evening.
Good evening. Our fourth grade chorus at Willowbrook Elementary will be performing for you this evening, led by our music teacher, Michelle Gerthert.
And I always have to say this, because if I don't, it'll look like that I'm not telling the truth. So I always say this because I do tell the truth. This is the best part of the meeting, right here. So what I'd like you all to do, as you leave, we'll start with the front row. If you'll walk up to that microphone, you may need to adjust it just a little bit. Look in that camera right back there and tell us your name, then we'll make you a star.
Hello, my name is Evaya.
Hello, my name is Alice.
Hello, my name is Daphne.
My name is Madeline Penley.
Hello, my name is Messiah.
Hello, my name is Scarlett Dapson.
Hello, my name is Zoe Duncan.
Hello, my name is Isaac Smart.
Hello, my name is Fiona Vowell.
My name is Emily Rice.
My name is Zachary Stewart.
Hello, my name is Jesse Paul Isbell III.
Hi, my name is Ruby Hill.
Hello and good afternoon. My name is Renaya Watson.
Hello, my name is Micaiah Jones.
Let's have another hand for the Willowbrook fourth grade chorus. And thank you, parents and grandparents and others, for being here. You're certainly welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting if you'd like. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second. Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Mr. Eby. No additions or corrections to the agenda. All those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, under special reports and presentation, our first item is our good news segment, where we'll share just some of the good things that are going on in the Oak Ridge schools. We'll start with Mr. Eby.
Mr. Chairman, my good news comes from Glenwood. First, over 300 students and their families attended the annual Glenwood STEM Night on September 21st. Students from Tennessee Tech and South College, along with the Glenwood staff members, hosted 10 science, math, and technology stations for family learning fun. And then the Glenwood third grade students presented their musical, Hats, on the evening of October 26th. And Glenwood hosted the Digital Tools in School on November 6th as part of the parent outreach goals. Mike Carvella presented helpful homework tools and Skyward family access tips and answered questions during the evening workshop. That's my news.
Ms. Eagle.
From Linden Elementary, the Fresh Start Elementary Alternative Program housed at Linden has successfully reintegrated two students back into their home school, and they're doing well. Two other students are fully integrated into classrooms at Linden and are also being successful on a daily basis. From Jefferson Middle School, the JMS CDC bocce team placed second in the Special Olympics bocce tournament on October 27th. And the Tennessee Arts Academy awarded Jim Dodson the Tennessee Arts Academy Outstanding Service and Achievement Award for his work as the Tennessee Arts Academy Visual Art Director.
My good news comes from Robertsville. At the 2017 annual conference of the Tennessee Association of School Librarians, Robertsville Middle School Media Specialist Scott Smith received the Claire Hasbrook Award. This award is given to an outstanding individual who has demonstrated dedication and commitment to furthering the cause of school libraries in Tennessee by contributing time, leadership, and effort to numerous TASL activities over a period of years. Scott received this award for his work as the co-chair of Tennessee's Volunteer State Book Award. Robertsville seventh grader Matt Kitts won the RMS Geography Bee for the third year in a row. Matt will go on to represent RMS at the Tennessee State Geographic Bee in Nashville in the spring. Ms. McLean.
I have some of the good news from Oak Ridge High School. The math club hosted a state convention in November. There were 190 students from across the state competing in 12 different competitions, both team and individual. The Oak Ridge High School team not only hosted, but won third place in the sweepstakes award. Also at Oak Ridge High, senior Emily Bordeaux was named student representative to the Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam's teacher cabinet. On November 8th, Emily and RMS science teacher Kathy Gannell attended a meeting of the cabinet at the governor's house and dialogued with Governor Haslam and Commissioner McQueen about future educators in the state. Also at Oak Ridge High, the orchestra awarded Adam Heron, a ninth grade violinist, a scholarship for 1 year of violin lessons. And AP students competed in the UT Engineering Day at UT. The Urban Stream Reclamation presentation team placed first in a field that included high school, UT undergraduate, and graduate students. The Robo Rage team placed third. Finally, for my segment, we had four Oak Ridge High School students were recognized on October 17th as semifinalists in the Siemens competition in math, science, and technology. Oh my. Radha Awasti and Candace Pang teamed together to develop a project titled Functional Representation of Neutron Data. Also, Joshua Bridges and Hannah O'Neill were recognized by the foundation. All four of these students conducted their research as part of the math, science, and computer science thesis course at Oak Ridge High. That's part of the Oak Ridge High good news.
And I have more Oak Ridge High School good news. Congratulations to a large group of our students from Oak Ridge High who did a campus visit at Georgia Tech. We had students from our AVID program, the Naval Junior ROTC program, and the SECME program that all went to Georgia Tech for a campus tour and football game on November the 11th. We also have some arts recognitions. Several students from Oak Ridge High School submitted entries to Knoxville Museum of Art exhibit. Three students were awarded first place in their categories, with others being recognized for their artistic talent in ceramics, 2D, and photography. Then our Top Wrench competition competitors, and only the second time that they've been out, actually, this is a new organization at the high school, Oak Ridge High School's Grease Cats of the Automotive Technology Laboratory took first and second place in the three competitions that they entered at McGee Tyson Air National Guard Base. So congratulations to them. They won prize money, and then, goodness, all sorts of scholarship, and yeah, way to go in the Top Wrench competition to the Grease Cats. The Navy Junior ROTC, we already saw a couple of those folks earlier. They've been busy during October and November. The group participated in welcoming home an Honor Air flight at McGee Tyson. They've competed in several athletic competitions. They've marched in the Knoxville Veterans Day Parade. They helped build a community garden at the Emory Valley Center. They visited UT Knoxville's campus with the Army and Air Force ROTC programs. They competed in their first drill competition and performed color guard for several area events. So they've been very busy. The other thing is shout out to all of our clubs. So many of our clubs at Oak Ridge High School are participating in the community by supporting families and organizations with assistance during the holiday season that's upcoming. So thank you to all those students for their community support. And I believe that wraps up our good news. That's just some of it, right, Keys?
That's just some of the good news.
Yeah.
Last board meeting, the Board of Education started a new program whereby at each board meeting we're going to recognize volunteers who assist in our school district. These volunteers are nominated by various schools in which they support the programs there. We will continue to do this and recognize two volunteers each board meeting through next year until October of next year, at such time the board then will select a volunteer of the year, which we will submit to the Tennessee School Board Association, as they have a program recognizing volunteers across the state, and hopefully that our volunteer would be selected as the state volunteer of the year. So first I'd like to ask Miss Lisa Downard from the preschool to come up and help me with the first one, and would ask Ms. Corey Huddleston if she would please come up. And I'll read just a few things about Corey. Corey is a parent of twins in the preschool program. She has been the acting policy committee chairperson for the 2016, 2017, and 2017-18 school year. Corey is always willing to assist in any way. She attends the Policy Council meeting in Anderson County's Head Start office every month. She assists teachers by taking home materials to be cut out or prepared and is always willing to lend a helping hand. She's helped with setup for special events. Corey has also been a critical parent component during our hiring of staff members. She has participated in our interview and selection process for teachers, as well as teaching assistants and family service staff. Congratulations, Corey Huddleston, our preschool volunteer of the month. And if you'd like to say a couple words.
You know, first, I want to thank the board truly for taking on this task of doing something monthly to acknowledge those who work so hard to support our programs. You know, Corey is just one of many in our program. We really encourage the involvement of our parents. And she has stepped up, and I mean, she is at our school every morning helping someone. She is always here, and she does a fabulous job. We truly appreciate our parents. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to do something small to thank them. Corey, we couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much.
And we would like to present you with this certificate. Oak Ridge Schools Board of Education hereby recognizes Corey Huddleston for her support, dedication, and service as a volunteer for the Oak Ridge Schools. Thank you again.
Thank you so
much. Appreciated. Thank you. And next, I'd like to ask Ms. Yuta Bang to come up along with Martin McDonald. I have a feeling that I could ask several principals to come up and stand with you, knowing of your work through the school district, but this happens to be where this particular nomination came from. Ms. Bangs recently participated as the parent representative on our school improvement e-plan committee. She is actively, underlined in quotations, involved in the band boosters as well as PTSO, where she coordinates events such as the PTSO role in freshman orientation. She is a, underline and in quotes, positive voice for our school in the Oak Ridge community. Are we okay? Oh, camera, okay. Thank you. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
So the underline positive was not done on accident. One of the things I've been really impressed by is Yuta serving as our PTSO president runs a great PTSO meeting, and sometimes we can become distracted a little bit, and she always kind of writes that ship back towards the agenda and always remains positive. And the other thing I'll say that about Yuta too is she is the creator and person who runs the Friends of Oak Ridge Schools website and is responsible for doing the Teacher of the Week nominations and awards every year. And, you know, as a district, we just don't have enough opportunities to recognize the truly outstanding teachers that we have within our buildings. And I just can't say how thankful I am that we have someone within the community that values education and appreciates the teachers and recognizes the hard work that they put into doing what they do every single day and is constantly looking for a way to draw attention and celebration to the great teachers that we have in this district. So it's a real honor to be able to have her be the high school's nominee for the Incredible Volunteer of the Year.
Thank you so very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And again, Oak Ridge Schools Board of Education hereby recognizes Yuta Bangs for her support, dedication, and service as a volunteer for the Oak Ridge Schools. Congratulations and thank you so much. Appreciate it. Next item on the agenda is 2020 report. Dr. Borchers.
As a follow-up to our previous presentations on various goal areas, tonight we have goal area number one. So I'll ask Dr. Beckendorf. Are you going to stay there, Dr. Beckendorf, or move up to the podium? It's up to you. Regardless, Dr. Beckendorf will be covering goal number one, and Ms. Cross is going to be covering goal number five. So I'll turn it over to Tracy.
Good evening.
All right, I'm looking forward to talking about goal number one for Oak Ridge 2020. So as a reminder, Oak Ridge 2020 is all about achieving excellence in education, and this evening we'll be focusing on goals one and goal five. Goal one is really focused on academic excellence, having a world-class balanced curriculum and instruction focused on student achievement. Goal five is focused on stakeholder excellence, having a strong family, community, and school partnership that values and supports excellence in education. And it's such a delight to see our community members honored, our volunteers honored, and I think that's a really great piece of stakeholder excellence. So our mission is to provide an adaptive and challenging learning environment and instruction that prepares each student for excellence in education and the workplace, while cultivating integrity, responsibility, and a sustained passion for continued learning. Our vision is that every student receives the highest quality education and graduates prepared for college, career, and life success. So when we talk about goal one, there are some various pieces that we're going to discuss this evening. One thing that we talk about is how do we make sure that we have equitable access to rigorous instruction? How do we make sure that we're closing achievement gaps? How do we make sure that we're including critical thinking and problem-based learning in everything that we do? How are we progressing towards the seven keys to college and career readiness vertically as the students move up through our schools and our grades? How do we have a comprehensive assessment system that measures progress against our standards, and so that we can make sure that we're making decisions based on data? How do we leverage our technology to enhance the learning environment and to make sure that our students are familiar with the technology of today's world? How do we partner with our corporate, business, community, and higher education learning partners in order to enhance our STEM opportunities and our career and technical education opportunities? How do we promote social and emotional learning, development of the whole child, and a sense of belonging for every student? And how do we promote a professional learning community environment based on ensuring that students learn, that teachers collaborate, and that we focus on results? So those are a lot of really lofty goals, and we're going to focus on some of those tonight. One thing I want to talk about is Access Oak Ridge. Access Oak Ridge, as you know, is our digital technology initiative, and we are now one-to-one, one device per student in grades 5 through 12, and I'd like to unveil the high school Access Oak Ridge video tonight for the first time, so we're going to go ahead and play that for you.
Sick a lot, so having my laptop and being able to see the notes as the teacher writes in OneNote really helps me, because I understand how she goes through the problems and if I'm awake by the time she does that, I can just watch her write the notes. She also writes like the homework so I can have it done by the next day so that I won't miss a day and be behind on homework.
About budgeting and our future in budgeting, you pick your career, and mom was a forensic scientist, and you go by what your salary is a year and how much you pay within a month and so forth. Like, for example, how much federal tax you'll get, your state tax, your total deductions, and furthermore.
Would you be able to do this project without having a device?
Probably not.
Yeah, there's a lot you have to
look at. Yeah, there's a lot. So we thank you, Oak Ridge, for giving us these laptops.
For people like me who can't read that far, we are posting that on our Access Oak Ridge webpage so that you can see it up front and close. But we are very excited that we are one-to-one in the high school this year. We want to thank Nancy Wittick, the instructional technology coach from the high school, for putting that video together and for the students and teachers who contributed to that. One-to-one's gone really well at the high school this year. Last year it was challenging with grades 9 and 10 and having some mixed grade level classes, but it's gone really well this year. And so we've had a very successful rollout for 5 through 12 in Access Oak Ridge, and we have an elementary technology committee that's currently researching what Access Oak Ridge could look like at the elementary level. Lynn, I'm advancing and it's ignoring me. All right, thank you. Another celebration I'd like to highlight is around literacy. So we've been doing a lot of work in literacy in our system, and I'd like you to see here, this is something called a heat map, and it shows from our results last year from the TN Ready, from grades elementary, grade 3, all the way up to high school. We met our goals in every area, achievement goals, our TVAS, which is our growth goal, and our subgroup goal in every area in literacy. So congratulations to all of the teachers and the students who made this happen. I do want to point out that there's something slightly misleading in here that will come up later, in that there actually was no growth for grades 3 and 4 last year due to the way that the lack of assessment the previous year. So where it says 3 through 5 ELA TVAS, that's actually only grade 5. So note that, as that will come up again later for math. Something else I would like to highlight are just continuing increasing post-secondary opportunities. These are students who receive certificates from Adobe, and their teacher, Mr. Green, who's done just a fantastic job in increasing the number of students getting certificates. And so we're just very excited about the number of students who are receiving these kinds of post-secondary opportunities while at Oak Ridge High School. I'd also like to highlight project-based learning. We have project-based learning happening in every school, from preschool all the way up to high school. Just amazing things going on. We've seen a great increase in our scorecard about the percentage of teachers implementing project-based learning. We're up to 81.8% from last school year. Another thing, thank you to Mr. Eby, who got us connected in with breaking a world record. Our students and teachers and classrooms were involved in breaking a world record in having the most students coding at the same time. So we have a lot of students who participated in that. I love the student's face right here. You can see how excited he is to be part of breaking a world record. I would like to highlight something else. We said earlier that we wanted to talk about closing the achievement gap. We have a program that we need to give a lot of credit to Mr. McDonald, the principal of Oak Ridge High School, for bringing in Advancement via Individual Determination, or AVID. This program is specifically intended to reduce the achievement gap. So AVID gives opportunities to students who may not normally be taking honors courses to take honors courses, but with a lot of support. They have an AVID elective with an amazing teacher, Ms. Denisar, who's doing a fantastic job with them. We have a great AVID coordinator, Kayla Gass. And look at this, after first quarter, 15% of our AVID students had all A's. 55% of our AVID students had all A's or B's. 91% had all A's, B's, or C's, and none of them had an F. So good job to those AVID students. And I appreciated the highlighting of the trip to Georgia Tech. Was fantastic. And those students represented Oak Ridge High School and Oak Ridge School District extremely well. So that was a great celebration. Also, when we talk about building SMART goals, so every year our schools set some goals for themselves. So what are some things that we want to do to improve our results every year? Each school sets their own goals. We noticed last year there were some incredible improvements. For example, in attendance, the high school had kind of a modest attendance goal of improving their attendance by 1%. They ended up improving their attendance by 28%. So that was a great achievement under Strive for Five. We also saw across our schools positive gains from RTI, response to intervention, and positive gains on our reading assessment. I want to highlight Woodland Elementary on the reading assessment because they are an example of why it's important to set bold goals. So Woodland Elementary, for example, said we want 85% of our kids to be reading on grade level at mid-year, 85%. Which was a really ambitious goal for every single grade level. Well, in some areas they missed the goal, but they hit like 83% of their students. So I love to use Woodland as an example of how to set a bold but doable goal. And even if you miss your goal, my gosh, 83%, isn't that fantastic? So I think they did a great job. And they aren't the only ones. We saw that across the system. All right, now the bad news. Okay, the opportunity is in math. So we really struggled last year as a system in math. So you'll notice that same heat map that I showed you for literacy, we had kind of the opposite results for math, where we really struggled to understand the new state assessments. We really did as a system. Now that didn't happen to every school district in the state, so we need to own it and say, wow, we really struggled with that. It was a new test. And we need to make adjustments. So we are doing a comprehensive look at our math instruction, making sure we understand the new math assessment, making sure that our students are prepared for the new math assessment. And we're going to be working with some people to come in and give us an outside point of view and say, hey, here are your strengths, here are your areas to improve. But we've already made a lot of positive strides. And I do want to give one shout out to the state, the Questar has provided a lot better reporting this year to allow us to say, hey, you're doing a little bit better on this standard, but on this standard you need to do some work. We got those reports from the state in about September for high school. We just are starting to get them now for elementary and middle school, so we'll do the best we can to adjust this year, but we should have more information moving forward. Okay, now here's another one. This is part plus and part opportunity. When we did our professional learning community activity record at the end of the year, we discussed this the last time I gave a presentation, we discovered that 89% of our teachers are giving and analyzing one common formative assessment, at least one per term. So we're trying to move that to 100%, but 89% wasn't bad. We also found that we are stronger as a system on what should students learn, which is question one, and what do we do if a student hasn't learned it, which is question four. We aren't as strong as a system on question two, which is how can I adapt my instruction so that every kid can learn? or how do we know if a student has learned it or not? So those are questions 2 and 3. So this year, a lot of our buildings are working on adjusting their SMART goals to focus on questions 2 and 3. Question 1 comes from, what are you going to teach every day? And question 4 comes from RTI, both of which we're very solid in. But questions 2 and 3, we need to bump up a little bit in our professional learning communities. Another thing that's very important this year is that chronically out-of-school data will be used in accountability this year. This is very important. It's a change in accountability, and this is going to hurt. Well, I shouldn't say hurt, but we're going to feel this. Right now, in Oak Ridge schools, out of all of our students, 14% are chronically out of school, which means they have 10% or more absences. But out of our economically disadvantaged students, 23% are chronically out of school. So we really need to work hard on attendance and making sure that we reduce the number of students who are chronically out of school. And I know Mr. Lay, Dr. Henderson have worked really hard with this, but we need to continue doing work for this. And this will be part of our accountability for the 17-18 school year. As far as strategies go, Access Oak Ridge is more than handing out a device. It's about transforming instruction and increasing student engagement. We need to keep collecting evidence around our professional learning communities. We have a continuous improvement committee where we meet monthly to discuss data, to say what are we doing well, what do we need to adjust. We need to continue project-based learning implementation, and just a wonderful job to all of our schools for that last year. We need to build on that this year. We need to continue having partnerships to help us grow post-secondary opportunities, working with the community on improving student attendance, and learning about and responding to our new state assessments. Before I hand this over to Holly, are there any questions?
I have one. Back to the slide on the AVID program.
Yes.
And you don't need to go, well, you can if you want to.
I already started clicking.
And I know this, as we go on with this program and more information and data is collected, we'll have more of a comparison. So the question I ask you, the answer is your best guesstimation.
Yes, sir.
If this program had not been in place, what would we have seen there with those students who are involved in the program?
McDonald, do you want to do that?
You want to take a guesstimation on that?
What I can tell you from comparable students who are not taking honors courses in their these are all freshmen, by the way, is that there's a pretty high failure rate. Do you want to? I'll let Mr. McDonald say the rest.
I think there would be a negative impact on the grades if they were not involved in the AVID program. There's a great deal of supports that go into the AVID program. We have, like Dr. Beckendorf was saying, a really incredible AVID elective teacher who, besides just working with the students on college readiness and building that college-going culture, is also working on study skills and organizational skills. And those tend to be two skills that many freshmen lack. And when you watch these AVID students and their binders and the ownership that they have over their binders and their agendas and some of the organizational strategies that they're using in the classroom, it's really impressive. And we had the opportunity to go, not to bore you with an anecdote, but we took those students down to Georgia Tech, had a really great time. And one of the things that came out of that is a student asked the admissions director, you know, why would I want to go to Georgia Tech versus any other school? And their response was that they had just completed an alumni survey. And in that alumni survey, they found out that 50% of Georgia Tech alumni are millionaires. So when you hear that, if you're an 14-year-old kid, your ears kind of pop open. You said, wait, go back to that millionaire part? And when we came back from the trip, three students came to see me on the following Monday and said that they looked up the admissions process for Georgia Tech, and they decided that it was the most exclusive school that they had found so far to apply to, and that they weren't going to be able to get in because they didn't have enough math. And so they wanted to know what they could do to fast forward their math so they could get to calculus by the time they graduated. All three of the boys are in algebra right now. All three of the boys have a 100 average in algebra right now. but they were not part of the AGET program, and they didn't have that opportunity for fast tracking. So we've got a plan put together now for how we can get them to calculus by the time they graduate. And that's what AVID does. It starts you thinking about college as a freshman and deciding what you need to do academically to put yourself in the best position for two things that we talk about all the time, which is the opportunity to go to college and the financial resources to make that a reality. Because without both, you've got nothing.
Thank you. Other questions? Mr. Abey.
Each month when I see this report, these reports, it just makes me value that much more what we're doing here. And your comment at the very beginning where it's hard to argue with the data. When it's there, it's there. But to say that you take ownership of the issues tells me that we're doing something right. And to use that data and to identify what we need to change, what we need to focus on. I mean, I think we all want to see this exceeds, but to be upfront about it and say these are the areas where we need work, where we need to focus on. That is the value of what's going on here. So well done. Keep it up. Keep on working.
Thank you. And I have to give a lot of credit to the Continuous Improvement Committee, because we have this committee that's made up of teachers, administrators, academic coordinators. There's just a variety of voices. And the teachers come from different walks of life. And to have their perspectives and input on district-wide decision-making has been invaluable. So having that committee has been really amazing. And like I said, just to see the schools themselves come up with these bold but achievable goals and strive to reach them is just incredible. And I feel confident that we'll turn the math around too. But we have to own it if we're going to fix it. But I'm just really proud to work in this system. I really am. So with that, I will turn it over to Holly.
Wait, Ms. Marshall.
Oh, sorry, Ms. Marshall.
So at the risk of asking a difficult / uncomfortable question, I am aware that we in previous years have had truancy. You spent some time on truancy. That we've had attendance issues.
Yes.
And that's across the school system, really. And that historically we've had a opportunity area there because we haven't been as strict as perhaps we should have been. It would not be unusual for an organization when they're trying to address that kind of deficiency to go from ditch to ditch, shall we say. So from being extremely lax to being perhaps somewhat punitive on the other end. My goal would be that we would find a middle road in that we're not a school system of 20,000 kids, right? We're a school system of a few thousand. Do you feel like we're working as hard to find the middle as maybe we, and this may be a question for you and Mr. Lay, that we find something that's a culture that's appropriate to us as a school system, as much rather than staying in the other ditch where we're somewhat punitive, perhaps,
Well, let me start by saying I don't believe we're going to do away with off-campus lunch. And I think that's part of the middle ground. Because
I would agree.
I think that if we were to become completely strict on the other side, we'd say, you know what, we just can't do off-campus lunch. And I think that Oak Ridge High School's culture would completely change if that were the case.
I would agree.
So I'm really impressed with what Mr. Lay and Dr. Henderson and others are doing. The high school's doing to try to find a middle ground. At the same time, that is true. We really do have to work with the community, because if you think about the fact that almost a fourth of our economically disadvantaged students are chronically absent, that's not good for their learning. That's not good for their futures. It's not good for their families. It's not good. It's not good. I mean, you have to come to school if you're going to learn. So we do need to do some things to support students coming to school, but that doesn't mean we're going to do away with off-campus lunch.
Right.
I'll just put it like that. I don't know if Mr. Lay wants to add.
You know, I think I would best answer that. I would encourage a board member that has not been to one of our campus truancy review and support meetings to please attend. I tell parents up front, if you want to be upset with me, I understand, but all I want is for your child to be in school. That's our priority. By the time a student makes it to truancy, They have had, and I lose count, somewhere between 7 and 10 contacts, and that's between letters, phone calls, automated messages. And the reason we hold the Campus Truancy Review and Support meeting is to avoid filing a petition or a warrant. So basically, that's the next step. Even at that point, we bring folks in, we share data with them, we share statistics, we let them know we're basically individuals who have not completed high school, basically where they often wind up. And the term is not, you know, we don't point out you're good or you're bad. I do say consistently that, you know, you have to make this a priority. And in some cases, that's all it is, just making education a priority, making sure your child's at school. And of course, I always share the example, we can't meet the needs of a student that's not in school. We just don't have the power to meet their needs while they're at home. So I don't feel like we're being overly punitive. At the same time, the state has, they're holding us responsible. We're responsible for a student's achievement, whether they're in school or not. So I think we have to make that effort. And when we do get to attendance tonight, I was very encouraged today as I went through that information. I mean, we are making some strides, and what that means, we are giving more students a better opportunity to reach their potential.
Right. Well, and I think as I just think through it, and bear with me as I think out loud a little bit, I think making sure we are absolutely 100% confident that we have done everything in our power in that middle zone. And I don't mean for the kids that have perfect attendance, and I don't mean for the kids that are without question truant, but particularly when such a high percentage of economically disadvantaged students or underserved populations are in that group, they're the least able to have that help at home, and they most need that middle ground. And so when we feel like, I guess I would just keep us open to the fact that maybe we've got room for improvement there. And again, I hold us to a much different standard than I would hold a school system of 20,000, okay? That gets so big that you get lost in bureaucracy, you don't have an option. I choose to believe that we're still small enough that we can keep getting better there. And so I would encourage us to make sure we're being tough on ourselves too. So that's all.
Ms. McClain.
Thank you for this complete report. I guess one thing I wanted to talk about was attendance, and that I have attended some of the truancy meetings, and they are enlightening. I do think, though, that we need to make sure that we're approaching our attendance with some compassion and open minds, and maybe we need to look a little bit harder at that. But thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next.
Let me turn it over to Holly.
So I have goal 5, and as Tracy mentioned, that's stakeholder excellence, where we want to build a strong family, community, and school partnership that values and supports excellence in education. And this should not be surprising that this is a very strong goal of ours. So we do quite well. Tracy already read those, so I'll skip that part. Within goal 5 are several points that are strategic objectives. To establish a community advisory council comprised of school, city, business, community, and higher education representation. To establish strong partnerships with local corporations and businesses that are focused on resource sharing, mentoring, identifying future needs, and supporting skill development, and creating local employment opportunities for students. We prepare a strategic communications and engagement plan that incorporates a strong message, protocols, and communication tools. We expand the role of the Oak Ridge Public Schools Education Foundation to support partnership integration and connectivity with the corporate citizens, and we develop partnerships to strengthen and increase family engagement, connection, ownership, and partnership. So the way we do this, we have our scorecard, as you know, and so on the things that we're doing really strongly on that are level 5 vision, those are outlined here. So where we're doing particularly well and meeting our goals, the percentage of organizations who regularly are involved in our advisory meetings is in the 90 to 100% level. And we track that with attendance sheets. And the number of opportunities for teachers, counselors, and students to participate in career-based field trips is at 12+. And so Tony and I were going over this data, and we noticed that we're at 12+. So we really, and because we continually think we can do that, we set next year's goal out to 15+. So on some of these, we said, you know what, we're at the top of the heap, and we think we can stretch that goal a little bit further and make it better. So maybe our reach should be a little bit further. So career and technical student organization competitions like the Top Wrench that Paige mentioned earlier, those types of career opportunities are some of those. And then we have also done things like the Dream It, Do It competition, where the middle school students get to go out into our industries and actually make videos and infomercials, and then the community gets to vote on the best one, and then the kids get awards and things like that. Those have been some highlights of our career-based opportunities for students. And then our counselors have gone out to SL Tennessee, Eagle Bend, ISIN. They have continual opportunities to do that with Anderson County Chamber. So those are some of the examples that we do there. And the Oak Ridge Public Schools Education Foundation, our goal was at 4+, and we're there. I mean, we do a lot of things with the foundation, so I would like to stretch that goal a little bit more too. So that's something we talked about. We set that one out to we'll just stretch to the 5. So once we get to the top of our goal, we think that we can do better, so I'll stretch that one. And then the percentage of parent responses regarding district communications marked as strongly disagree, we want to keep very small, in the 0 to 2%. And you know, we said, why not make that 0? We don't want anybody strongly disagreeing that we communicate well. And then the engagement and partnership, we don't want that marked strongly disagree, but that's a strength of ours. We're in that 0 to 2% on that indicator as well. And now for the, this isn't that bad of news. Our number of advisory board meetings, and I mentioned this the last time I presented this, right now we're at 2 of these per year. So they're semi-annual advisory meetings. It's a lot of people. We pull them out of their workplace. We want to make these meaningful for them. So I'm working on meaningful before I look at, like, quality before quantity. So I'm going to show you something cool on the next slide. But so let's make those really good. And when they're really strong and then we're really well attended and people start really looking forward to them, then we will increase the number of those. And then the number of co-op opportunities for students. This one had a little dip in it, and I went and asked some of the teachers why this is. And particularly, early childhood education careers has always had a lot of students placed out in our schools. And this year we only have 3. So that's a class where students have typically gone out to Glenwood, to Willowbrook, all the elementary schools, both middle schools, and they even have placements in the high school, and we've typically have in double digits in that class. And I asked Bev, why is that? And she just said her enrollment just went through a phase where she doesn't have as many this year. But next year she anticipates, she has 17 possible and at least 10 probable, so we anticipate that number going up substantially next year. So that was a progress, and that was an area where we know we'll grow next year. And then percentage of parent responses marked as agree or strongly agree on the TDOE survey, that was at 80 to 89%. And we would like to put that at least in the 90%, probably better. We want people to agree. So what's the strategy? So possibly increase the number of advisory meetings each year with emphasis on making them more rewarding. So the next advisory board meeting that we're having is December 8th. It's Friday morning, and we have a special guest speaker, Joseph Bonner from UCOR, who is a specialist in cybersecurity. And so we have an exciting meeting, and everybody's invited. If you didn't get a specific invitation, you are now invited, including our viewing audience. It should be a very interesting presentation about cybersecurity and why that's important to our students, our parents, our whole community. Okay. And then this got covered up on this. So strategies, I mentioned these already, actually. So on the pieces that we're not at the level that we want to be, or those pieces where we could actually improve because we've gotten to the top of the heap. Of course, we want to improve. So we're going to look at more opportunities for co-op, especially next year, and our placements when in work-based learning in Oak Ridge Public Schools Education Foundation. We're doing the Look for the Book. I'm going to give that a little plug right now, the 75th anniversary book. We're doing that with Jessica, and she likes me to plug that whenever we can. And our communication can always be better. So we want our parents and our community to feel like we're communicating openly, transparently, and constantly to keep them informed. Okay. Any questions?
Well, a comment. Our communication level, even though you say we want to do better, we always want to do better, but our communication level for the last year since you've taken over this responsibility of communication specialist, I guess is your title, has increased dramatically, and we're seeing things out in the community. I think you send so many things to the Oak Ridger that they can't possibly get them all in there. Fortunately, we do get a few.
Yes.
But you do that. And the things that we're doing out in the community to involve our parents, our community members, is increased dramatically. And I know with the effort that you put into it that it's even going to get better. But I know the board greatly appreciates what you have done to take an area where I think we were very weak for a period of time and has strengthened it greatly. So it's much appreciated
for
you doing
support.
That.
Thank you.
Mr. Eby.
And just like on the last one where we identified areas for improvement, something you're doing very well here is things that are going very well, you're not sitting on your laurels. So you're exploiting those things that are going well and looking to see how you could do them even better. That's the purpose of this, you know, the path to continuous improvement, the Malcolm Baldrige approach. What can you do that you're doing well? How can you make that doing better? And the other thing I think that you did very well is that you're looking at how do you change your goals? In other words, if you go into the process and you identify that a goal is not exactly the right goal, just putting a number on there, that wasn't the right goal. The quality over the quantity. There's more important things there that can really make this better. So keep up what you're doing. You're doing it right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, I did see Naomi Asher in here somewhere a minute ago. Becky's here. Yes, there you are. So we'll turn it over to you.
I'm Becky Hook, and yes, Naomi had to leave. I'm sorry, but I said I would brag her up while she could not stay this long. Naomi Asher is the executive director of United Way, and I help her with the school system. And I'm so pleased to announce that we did better this year than we have ever done in our fundraising. So I want to thank everybody for their support. Last year, you may remember, it was all about eggs, and some of you participated with eggs being smashed on your head. This year, we decided to be a little gentler, so it's all about cornhole. And every school participated with cornhole on a local level, and when they did this, they got to the winner of each game, got to choose the agency that they wanted to donate to, and we provided a donation to the agencies of their choice. Different schools, Glenwood picked Boys and Girls Club, Linden, ADVAC, Willowbrook, Girls Inc., Woodland, Boys and Girls Club, Jefferson, Boy Scouts of America, the Robertsville Blossom Center, Oak Ridge High School, ASAP, Anderson County, Preschool, Second Harvest, Girls Inc. for SAB, and the Secret City Academy, Ridgeview. So each one of those organizations will receive a $25 donation for that school. The next level of this is the two schools that had the highest percentage will compete against each other at the in-service in January. And those schools, I want to put a shout out to Secret City Academy. They had 100% participation. Every member of their staff participated. Willowbrook came in second with 53%. So they will be competing against each other. And the winner of that game will then be playing the Cornhole champion, Dr. Borchers, for a $100 certificate to the agency of their choice. In addition to that, we had Chuck Hope, who is making cornhole boards, and Mr. Jim Dodson is going to be painting those for us. So it's just a very fun way to fundraise. Now, for the total amount, I wanted to also mention we had retired teachers that donated $1,775 to the total. But the total amount for Oak Ridge Schools, better than we have ever done, $23,409. And these will go to the 36 United Way agencies. So thank you so much for your support.
I have a when Dr. Borchers participates in that, is he going to wear that outfit? Does he have to do that?
Don't you think that would be a great idea?
Only if you come up with it, Becky.
We actually had one little preschooler sit that saw Dr. Borchers in the hall. He said, "Is that the man in the corn?" Yes.
She repeatedly finds me as I walk in the morning. Yep.
Thank you for that, and thank you to all of our staffs and our schools for an excellent job. Thank you. Comments or questions from the board? Next on the agenda is the public forum. The public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address a topic that is on the agenda when it is presented. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments or may direct the superintendent to address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the podium, sign in please there, and then state your name and address for the board. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Excuse me. Seeing no one, we will move on to the consent agenda. I hear a motion for approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall and seconded by Ms. McLean. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to items for action. Item A, Board Policy 6.2011, Voluntary Pre-K Attendance. This is a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 6.2011, Voluntary Pre-K Attendance.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers, comments?
Again, no change from our first reading. Again, as we mentioned last time and based on some conversation earlier, we want to stress that important attendance very early on, but also make sure we're reaching out to families and doing that in a common sense way.
Comments from the board? Motion is approval of Board Policy 6.2011, Voluntary Pre-K Attendance. This is second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda, item B, removal of Board Policy 1.704, Charter Schools. This is a second reading as well. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the removal of Board Policy 1.704, Charter Schools.
Heard the recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Comments, Dr. Borchers?
Just a reminder that this is being deleted because of the new state laws, and they're going to have a new number of policies, series of policies of 1.9 through 1.906, and we'll have one of those immediately following this item.
Comments from the board? Hearing none, the motion is removal of Board Policy 1.704, Charter Schools. This is on second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item C is Board Policy 1.901, Charter School Applications. This is the second reading as well. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 1.901, Charter School Applications.
You've heard the recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagles, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers, comments?
No changes from our last meeting.
Comments from the board? Hearing none, motion is approval of Board Policy 1.901, Charter School Applications. This is second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item D, Board Policy 4.700, Testing Programs. This is a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 4.700, Testing Programs.
Further recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. McLean. Comments, Dr. Borchers?
This is a first reading, but the board has seen this repeatedly over the last year, so I'm going to turn to Dr. Beckendorf to comment on the changes here.
The main change here is that the state is requiring that we put the methodology in there for how we take raw scores from the state and put them into student report cards. As a reminder, it used to be that the state would take the raw scores and use their own formula in order to put the raw scores into students' grades. Starting last school year, they left it up to districts to determine what formula they would use. So if you recall, Jim Hundermark, who was our assessment coordinator last year, ran through 10 different possible methodologies in order to really give a fair result to our students so that our students wouldn't be disadvantaged by the new testing. So what ended up happening last year is that we selected the fairest method that we could find, which was what we call standard deviation 10. We did use that result in the high school grades at the end of the school year last year. So in order to determine if that methodology also made sense for the elementary and middle school students, we had to take the raw scores that we eventually received from the state just pretty recently and run it through the same methodology to make sure that it was still fair, and we found that it was. So we feel better having the same methodology for any for students' grades. We don't want to have mixed methodologies across the system. That's why you see the standard deviation 10 methodology listed there. As you can see, it's basically kind of grading on a curve, like we would call it. It's a generous curve. Now, it is still stated that the superintendent may exclude these scores from students' final grades if the results are not received by the district at least 5 instructional days before the end of the course. So for our end of year testing, there is still a pretty decent probability that we will not receive the elementary and middle school scores in time for them to actually go into student grades. I cannot say with conviction that these scores will actually be on grades 3 through 8 report cards this year. I do feel somewhat convinced that they will be on high school report cards this year. But again, it's a generous methodology, so it should not be disadvantageous to students. The other change that you'll see here is that we did have to say for the 2018-19 school year what percentage of the student grade would be reflected by these scores, and I chose the lowest percentage that was allowed because it had to be between 15% and 25%. So that's where the 15% came from.
Just to make sure I'm reading, and I think I am, but it's worth repeating, I think. If scores are not received by the district at least 5 instructional days, not 5 days after the test has been completed, right?
At least 5 instructional days before the end of the course. So let's say school ends on June 3rd. We would have to receive the scores 5 days,
5 instructional days before June 3rd. Well, if we do not receive the scores within 5 instructional days of June 3rd, which is that even the right date? I'm close. Then we have the option to not include the grades in student report cards.
But the instructional day is the last day of school, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the last day of school. Now this is going to be interesting for our fall testing with Agate, because it's a little bit unfair to include end of course grades in student report cards in June and to not do it for the student grades in December. You know, for this, we just have a couple of classes who are testing in December. So we may not opt out of using it in student grades for the winter testing for the high school, just because of that lack of fairness, because we might have to include them in student grades at the end of the year. However, if you're thinking grades 3 through 8, if we get the scores on June 10th, I think it would be fairly unpopular to hold report cards, especially considering that, you know, what if they say they're going to be here on June 10th and then they're not? So we're supposed to tell the state by the end of December if we are intending to hold report cards for those scores, but this would say that we do not have to do so.
Mr. Hebe.
Do we know how many school systems in the state are using this standard deviation 10 or?
No, sir, they haven't. I have not seen a compilation of the different methodologies that school systems are using. I will tell you, though, that we used a generous methodology.
I'm going back to my days of statistics, and one standard deviation, as I recall, is like 68.3%. So 68.3% on the upside or downside, if I get that right, 32 on each side, will score between 75 and 95, I think. So, I mean, it is very generous.
We're using a very generous methodology. When we took a look at the suggested methodologies, we ran those as options. The state gave about 3 suggested methodologies. But the one that they were using in previous years is actually pretty disadvantageous to students. If you look at the new scores, especially if you consider the new distribution of scores in math in particular, across the state, not just for Oak Ridge. So, you know, it seems pretty harsh to disadvantage students with a brand new testing environment. And the board had directed us to be, you know, pretty fair. And so we use a generous methodology. In partnership
and
with
our
principals.
And we know the state will accept this methodology.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The state will accept it. And our principals gave us a lot of great input at the end of the year last year. So, you know, it wasn't just me sitting there making this decision. So they gave fantastic input.
Other questions or comments? Ms. Marshall.
Yeah, just one clarifying. For the 10 ready scores are averaged into the spring semester grade. End of course are for the whole course, whether that's semester or full year.
Yes.
Okay, just checking. Thank you.
I know it would have been easier just to have one section, but the statute's written as the statute's written. Yes.
Motion on the floor then is approval of board policy 4.700 testing programs. This is the first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Item E, board policy 4.502, parent and family engagement. This is the first reading. Dr. Borcher.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of board policy 4.502, parent and family engagement.
Further superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second. Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Comments, Dr. Borcher?
I'm going to again turn to Dr. Beckendorf to add anything she would like.
I'll make this short and sweet. This is just an update to be in alignment with ESSA.
Comments or questions from the board? Ms. McLean.
I would love to see more parents involved in our schools. This is a great policy, but I think we need to see the parents, especially in the middle and the high schools.
Ms. Agle.
Has there been any thought given to finding a way to solicit parents who want to participate, who want to volunteer? Because I think at times there's a little bit of cherry picking goes on when we need somebody for a textbook committee or we need somebody for this, that the principals may cherry pick the parents that they know the best and work with the most. And there may be other parents who would like to be involved but feel like they're never picked. Is there any thought to opening that up some so that we get a better diversity of parents volunteering for these roles?
I think a couple of changes that have happened this year that I think are helpful in that regard are, first of all, Allison Peters is actually working at a system-wide level rather than focused on Willowbrook this year, and that's given an opportunity to really expand the community engagement in that way, in a brand new way compared to previous years. So that's one example. I also feel like the superintendent's PTO council has been actively discussing exactly what you just said about how can we outreach in secondary schools to parents who aren't the frequent flyers, so additional parents. And I feel like there's been movement in that in our secondary schools this year. I can also say that the state is expecting us more and more to have really kind of very clear parental input, whereas before it might have been checking a box off. Now we're really making some active and clear roles for parents in a lot of different things, and I think that's having an improvement as well.
Other questions? Any comments? Hearing none. First reading, Board Policy 4.502, Parent and Family Engagement. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, item F, tenure status for qualified educators. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of tenure status for the attached listed staff members.
I've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
I move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, this is a wonderful evening, as we all know, to really honor just some wonderful teachers that have worked incredibly hard to earn this tenure. And you'll see there's a large list. I think the board has that list in front of them, and I think we have some members here this evening. Mr. Lay works with Dr. Lee on this item, so I don't know, Mr. Lay, if you have any other additional comments.
Just basically what I add, we have spoke with each principal and basically they have approved this recommendation, and the list is a little bit long due to the fact that TN Compass, the new teacher evaluation system, we're now in our seventh year, and it took 5 years. In your last 2 years you had to earn a level four, level five, so we had a lot of people earn the right to become tenure at this moment, so it is a large list.
We have a couple of these people in the audience or other places tonight, so I'd like for those people to stand up if they would at this point in time and be recognized. And congratulations to you.
And to their credit, we told them they did not have to attend the board meeting, but they wanted to be here. So thank you very much.
I do remember a time a number of years ago when at this particular time there may not have been quite as many, but the superintendent at that point in time, not Dr. Borchers, was not here yet, would ask each one to come to the microphone and make some comments. Usually they were all caught off guard. But fortunately, when they got there, the comments they made were very positive. So that was a good thing. I guess they wanted to keep their tenure or something. I don't know. So, but We're not going to ask you to do that tonight by any means, but thank you for being here. And this is, again, a labor of love to do this. And thank you for your contributions to the education of our students in Elk Ridge. Let's give them another round of applause. Any comments from board members? Yes.
You gonna vote?
No, I'd have thought, you know, we'd let him sit there and sweat for a few minutes and see if we were going to actually vote on it. You know, they might bring up some cookies or gifts or something. We did, okay. A motion on the floor is approval of tenure status for qualified educators. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, item G, textbook adoption committee. Well, you can't leave now.
Mr. Eby just shared that they could leave. Yeah.
Oh, you did? So, yeah. Okay. Item G, Textbook Adoption Committee. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the attached Science, Physical Education, Wellness, and Health, Fine Arts, and AV Technology and Communications Committees for grades K-12.
I've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean, Dr. Borchers.
As you can see, we have that attached list and various representations at the various levels and buildings, something that the board does every year for the various subject areas.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, motion is approval of textbook adoption committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, item H, addendum to operational agreement for Blankenship Field. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the addendum to the operational agreement for Blankenship Field.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, this is the language that was adopted by the council, and on the attached, you can see that language that's going to be added to the resolution that we agreed upon earlier. I'll go ahead and read that, and maybe they'll make it easier. It says, the city and schools will comply with all grant provisions on facilities funded by and or with the LPRF grant protected boundary, including but not limited to the requirement that facilities meet and are available for public recreation. And this is a result of the state board down in Nashville wanting to just guarantee that we will follow the grant rules by leaving it open during the timelines provided in the attached document. So they just wanted a little bit more information and language in that resolution from both the city and the schools.
Comments or questions from the board? Comments? Motion is approval of the addendum to the operation agreement for Blankenship Field. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next is the approval of a new club at Oak Ridge High School, the Oak Ridge High School Book Club. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the Oak Ridge High School Book Club.
For the recommendation from the superintendent, do I hear a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
The board has the attached application for the book club, and we certainly support that.
Comments or questions? Mr. Eby.
Yeah, I support it too. I think reading is the best thing we can do. But my question is how do they determine, somebody will come up and ask the question, what books they're going to read?
Mr. Lay, do you have anything to add on that?
I do not have an answer to that. I would just be making an assumption. So, but I would assume perhaps when they get their group together, they'll talk about what's out there, what's new, and once again, with the teacher being involved, we can rest assured it'll be age appropriate. So,
okay.
Mr. Motion is approval of Oak Ridge High School Book Club. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to items for information. Item A is the board's self-evaluation. Each board member, as part of our board policy and part of the requirements to continue to be a board of distinction, does an annual self-evaluation. Each board member has a copy of that evaluation and the totals as compiled. Ms. Lammerhurt, thank you for doing that. We will add one additional thing to that, and that will be a composite total for each board member. And you'll have that either tomorrow or Wednesday. At our board retreat on Wednesday, we will have some discussion on this, and then we'll come back after each board member has had a chance to digest it and identify the results and comments at a January board meeting. Item B, Future Leaders Academy. Dr. Borchers?
Yeah, I'll ask Mr. Lay. He and Mr. Hebrard have put this together. So, Mr. Lay, you want to give us an update?
Yes, I'll actually give the credit to Mr. Hebrard. He mentioned in this last year, and we just really didn't have time to do it correctly. So we made plans for this year, and we basically communicated this opportunity to our staff members, and we're just simply having an opportunity for those who see themselves moving towards leadership in the future. We've already had two meetings. They have been absolutely phenomenal. I think everyone, whether it be Mr. Hebart or myself or the participants, it's been a worthwhile activity. You can see by the information provided, we're going to discuss a lot of areas, and we can do a better job in Oak Ridge sometimes promoting from within. Because we're a small system, it does limit those opportunities. So we need to do more activities to prepare people for that. And I know for me personally, it's been a great opportunity thus far to have interactions with individuals that I know who they are, but I don't work with them, and basically just listen to them, present themselves, and share their skills. So anyway, another important part of that, we have this past meeting, we had Mrs. Goins and Mr. McDonald. They basically came and presented. Our participants will get to see a variety of leadership styles, which I think will be very helpful. We'll be problem solving. Basically, we're going to say, this is happening in a school. Get in your group. How are you going to address this? So it's just going to be a time of learning for all of us. And I think everyone involved, including, once again, Mr. Hebard and I, we will all grow from this experience.
And my compliments. You and I had a brief discussion about this, and compliments to both of you for taking this on. You know, we don't know if we have people within our district who would fit into leadership positions, and even for them, sometimes it's not until they say, you know, I think I may apply for that opening, and they really don't have an understanding of what that opening entails, and maybe get in there and realize, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But this certainly gives them an opportunity to find out whether or not this is something on down the road. I hear some laughter back there from some that maybe thought about that.
You don't mean current administrators?
No,
do you?
I don't mean the current administrators. But I mean to identify, and what better way to perpetuate the success of your district is have those people who are district employees being able to move up and take leadership positions. And even if they don't aspire to become a vice principal or a principal or whatever, this is still going to give them some tools that they can use within their school building as leaders there as well. I think it's great.
Yes, and I would agree completely with you. And we are making an effort, once again, to define the job for what it is. I've always said I love administration, but it's not always the easiest job, to say the least. It requires a lot of time. But this past meeting, you know, and I was just sort of looking around the room, our 2 hours was up, you know, and this is in the evening after a long day at work on a Thursday. And I was looking around the room. I thought, gosh, I can't believe our 2 hours is ending. And I really don't think I was alone. I mean, once again, it was just a great experience for all of us. It's going to be very valuable.
Comments or questions, Ms. McLean?
I hope that they'll come here for their graduation, and you know, we can honor them and their efforts.
We have started that conversation, and something spectacular will happen. Okay, so
Mr. Eby.
Did y'all just come up with this concept, or is this something that you stole from some other system, or what?
Oh, we love to get credit for stealing things. Actually, Knox County Schools, they do have a leadership academy, and they run a quality leadership academy, is my understanding. So I know some of the information we have. Actually, Mr. Hebard is the one, he sort of went searching and brought this in, and then we've added our own touch to a few things. Some of the items we're adding is if there's a particular issue in our school system, you know, I know it's just 16 people, but if you can share that with those 16 people and work through it, they're going to be leaders in their building, and they may help others understand that. So it's going to be a combination. So.
Other comments or questions? Item C, TSBA Annual Conference. Earlier in November, the board and administrators had an opportunity to attend the annual leadership conference and convention. We give the opportunity for any board members to make any comments that they would like. I would have to say right off, this may be one of the best that I have been to in some time. The change in dates or days from starting on Thursday and ending on Sunday, I think, paid dividends for attendance and having the attendees stay longer. The method of providing the exhibits and how that was organized. And yes, Mr. Eby did win a door prize, the only member there that won a prize. I'm not sure how that happened, but he did. But that was well done, and the exhibitors were better. I think they had a better group of exhibitors there. Dr. Borchers, Dr. Beckendorf, and Mr. Lay presented a clinic entitled Leading a New Normal, which they talked about development of our seven keys to college and career readiness. We, as board members, got to attend a number of clinic sessions, and the speakers were outstanding this year. So very valuable, I thought. Any other comments from any of the other board members? Ms. McLean?
I attended the leadership conference, and it was titled Exceptional Leaders Build a Culture of Actively Engaged People. And it was very interesting, and I think that our Future Leaders Academy is providing us with actively engaged people. So it was very good.
And it was good. There were four of us there for the leadership, and we got to all sit at a table together, which is sometimes you want to kind of spread out. But in this particular case, based on the discussion, it was good that the four of us could sit there, and we were given opportunities to have a discussion and feedback among ourselves, which I thought was really important. And we learned some things about that. Mr. Eby.
Yeah, those speakers at the leadership conference were just outstanding. You know, but most importantly, we also had a board member who was honored as a level 5 school board member. That's the highest level that you can get to, and it's not just taking classes, but you have to do write your portfolio, and then you have to be elected by the other level 5s, and that is our chairman, Keith Spielauer. I think we ought to give him a round of applause.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Other comments? Ms. Eagle.
This was, as you said, I think one of the best state conventions that I've been to, because every session I attended was helpful. I learned things. One in particular was Clinic C, the ABCs of special ed. And as long as I've been on the board, there's still a lot I don't know. And this session only touched part of it, but they did equip us with additional information, which changes. One of the things that they said is that the standard for what is a free and appropriate education changes. The new standard, as defined by the courts, is appropriately ambitious, which is different than what it used to be. So it was very helpful and engaging in this continuing education, I think, is important for us, because no matter how short or how long a time we've been doing it, You don't know it all. There's always something that you need to know.
Absolutely. And we do learn just with our association with other boards from across the state about things that we find things that we're doing extremely well, and we find things that we can do better. So it was very valuable. Okay, moving to D, financial report. Questions from any of the board members or comments?
Welcome to Pat.
Enrollment report. Comments or questions? Attendance report. Comments or questions? Mr. Lay, did you?
You know, I'm going to go back to enrollment just for a moment.
Okay.
We are still up 33 students compared to this time last year, and we're up 3 students compared to a month ago. So that trend is continuing, which is very positive. If you look at the attendance information we have, I'm encouraged. If you look at second and third grade, actually second, third, fifth, and sixth, they're at 7%, which in comparison is good. But then if you look at our seventh and eighth grade, they're both at 6%. So if you look at our middle schools overall, they're doing very well with their attendance. So then I'm always encouraged when I see that our number of excused is either the same or higher than unexcused. We're doing a good job communicating. We need those notes, and that communication from parents does help us. I think the most impressive, if you go to the charts, would be to probably look at Oak Ridge High School. And if you will look at that graph compared to last year, in fact, compared to the past 2 years, they are showing improvement. And once again, it's just so important that we have these students in school. For some of them, regardless of what they're living in, regardless of their barriers, that's their best shot at rising above that. So, and rest assured, we want to be sensitive in dealing with that, but we also realize the importance. And if they miss that opportunity, for some students, they will never recover from that. So it's just so important. So anyway, but it is encouraging. And Mr. McDonald, I know he has pushed the Strive for Five, and I think between the efforts, you know, it's just showing that we are making some improvement. There's going to be, my understanding, some data coming out at the state level that will compare our attendance to other systems. That will be interesting to see how we compare to other school systems. Is our problem huge, or are we just sort of part of the norm, or are we better than the norm? So anyway, that information will be coming. So.
Question on that. When that's done, is there a guaranteed standard of how attendance is counted so that we'll be comparing apples to apples and not apples to oranges?
I'm gonna say I would hope so, but
I would ask that question, and I would look and see how, you know, if ask the state to see if there's some variation or how they determine attendance, just to make sure.
I know the high school is more difficult because we're required to report attendance period by period. Jennifer Connor, I'm not sure if you all know her, but she is very amazing, very knowledgeable. So I will work with her because she does all these reports, and she will know if each school system is being scored.
I'm sure that we will report something very, very fairly. I just want to be sure that if we're compared to other school systems, that there's a good, fair comparison.
Well, I know I've been on some Tennessee listservs, and this is an item that very question is being asked. So everybody wants to know what are the playing rules, and let's make sure we do everybody accordingly.
Other questions? Then we move to items for discussion. Any old business? Any new business? Communications. I would remind everyone that the board is having a board retreat this Wednesday from 8 to noon. We will be retreating down into the school administration conference room for our retreat.
Nobody can accuse us of going out spending big bucks.
That is a fact. Correct me if this is not correct, let me know. You, Bob, you are hosting Focus on Ed December 13th. Is that correct?
With Joe Bruce as my Family Resource Center.
6 o'clock on cable 15 on December 13th. December 13th. Also, there is a truancy meeting, as Mr. Lay pointed out, this coming Friday at Robertsville at 10 a.m. And Ben also, let me pull this up just real quick right here so I say it correctly. From our Office of Safe Schools and Coordinated School Health, invite all Oak Ridge school employees and their family to Robertsville Middle School Auditorium Wednesday, November 29th for a powerful presentation on the opioid drug epidemic we're battling within the community. The evening will include a screening of the film Chasing the Dragon, and following the film, the group will engage in a panel discussion with former DEA agent Neil Morgenstern, as well as representatives from the Oak Ridge Police, Fire, Emergency Medical Services, Ridgeview, Behavioral Health, and ASAP of Anderson County. The doors will open at 5:15 p.m. To provide the opportunity to visit with some of those agencies. Program will start promptly at 6. Students in grade 8 and below must be accompanied by their parent or guardian, and Oak Ridge High School students only may attend unaccompanied with a note from their parents. So that might be a valuable opportunity for members of our community and school staff. With that being said, thank everyone for your attendance, and we are adjourned.